Good evening.
Good evening.
I give you a warm welcome. This evening we're using the red redemption hymn book. You'll also need the black psalter. Just a couple of announcements. At 8:15 this evening there is a missionary focus online. If you see Roger afterwards, he can give you the details and the login, because I invariably forget them. Matthew, our evangelist, is asking for people to help him distribute leaflets for the Queen's Jubilee event and for the lambing service, a couple of Tuesdays in May and a Saturday for the market stall. If you're able to help, there is a sheet on the notice board in the upper room for you to add your name. Let's sing together now using the red hymn book, number 39. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Gracious God and Heavenly Father, there is so much darkness in the world. We've just sung about it, but we've sung too about the light which shed abroad brings hope and mercy and peace and grace to those who are living around, surrounded by darkness. Father, we thank you that throughout all eternity you are the God of light. We thank you for that time when light came into our world in the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he eventually was to hang on the cross and there would be darkness over the face of the earth, but an amazing triumph was bought and brought about through all that he accomplished as he took our sin and paid that eternal penalty. Father, we thank you for that first Sunday morning, first day of the week when Jesus rose, and it seems as though lightness shone all around, and yes, the angels, but to those walking, to the disciples gathered, and then to hundreds of others, and then across the world. Father, at this time, we would pray especially for those who are living in very dark, dark situations. I read in a Christian newspaper yesterday about a whole church being shot dead in North Korea. Oh God, be merciful to that land, we pray. Be near to those who are left bereaving and the many, many tens of thousands of Christians in that country who will be fearful. Oh God, in such darkness, please bring about beaming light again into the hearts of many. Change the leadership, change that nation, we pray. We think too of the few believers that are left in Afghanistan again, many fearing for their lives. Lord, please be to them all that they need, providing food and protection and banishing fear as they trust in you. And once again, in Ukraine, again, where there's so many believers, we thank you for the great work that's been done in that land in the last couple of decades, revival coming in many areas. Please, Lord, be merciful to them, we pray, that all that there would be peace. Oh, that there'd be a cessation of the violence. Oh, Lord, that somehow out of this great darkness, goodness would come. But Father, we know as well we're living surrounded by men and women who love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Lord, please be merciful to them. Those for whom we pray regularly, those for whom we just beat and bump into, those who live around us, who are close to us, who are dear to us, please. May the light of the gospel shine. May they find the Lord Jesus. May they find salvation and forgiveness and newness of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. Let our souls praise him, for he is our help and salvation. Let's all just hear, brothers and sisters, draw near, praise him with glad adoration. Oh, Father, we thank you that we can gather together tonight to sing and to praise your name for all that you've done for us all. Oh, Father, we pray that, Lord, that others would come to know and love you. Our neighbours, our friends, our families, some of our families don't yet know you as their Saviour. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for drawing us to know you, to love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And we just pray that you will bless this chapel here, Lord. Bless the pastor, Pastor Alan, Lord, and all that attend here, Lord. And we just pray your blessing on us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless the one who will give your word tonight, Lord. Anoint him, Lord, that your word will go forth in power and in truth, Lord. And I pray that you will give us all listening ears, receptive hearts, Lord, to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for Margaret that called in at the chapel this afternoon. I want to just hold her up to you. She's got so much going on in the house and considering whether to come to this place. And I thank you for her. Thank you that you've heard this place. And I just pray that you will bless her. And I pray that we'll hear again, Lord. Draw people to this place, Lord. But, just want to come to a church that preaches the gospel. Praises and worships you in spirit and in truth, and that's what people want, Lord. And so help us about it. Protect us from all the things that might spoil that, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I do thank you for this church and thank you for coming.
Amen.
So we pray for Lord, and for our loved ones.
As we prepare ourselves to take the communion, let me share with you some well-heard words of Isaiah the prophet. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labour of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Let us sing together before we take the bread and the wine. 330 in the hymn book, 330, which begins, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Oh, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb of Calvary, the Lamb that was slain, that liveth again to intercede for me." 330. Would you play the tune through for us, just the verse and then... Sing the verse without the chorus. 330.
Ere long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Agony and blood.
Amen. Just keep your hymn book open at that page. We may conclude the Lord's Supper with that fifth verse. Please be seated and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of that hymn. Our sin is great, but your grace is greater. Our iniquity is gigantic, but your grace greater. Our hellfire is thoroughly deserved, but your grace is greater. And Lord, as we partake of this communion, we are minded that we were born in sin and lived accordingly thereafter. And yet, Lord, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust. And Lord, in this bread we behold, through the eyes of faith, the body of our Saviour. We thank you for the incredible sacrifice he made that we might be reconciled to a holy God. The bread not only bespeaks our evil, but our Saviour's goodness, compassion, kindness, undeserved favour. Lord, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have no claim, no rights, no entitlement to approach you. And yet, gracious God, you beckon us forward. You invite us into your presence, for clothed in the righteousness of Christ, having none of our own, we are reckoned as righteous as he. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wine, that it represents the blood of our Saviour shed, that our crimes, which are many, might be paid for. Retain the cup, we'll drink together. The cup of the new covenant. Would you turn to the Psalter? It's actually 145. I made an error, forgive me. Psalm 145. We'll sing to the end of verse 6 in the book, which is four tune verses. We'll sing it to the tune of Amazing Grace. After which, I'll ask Kevin to come and bring us God's word.
I'll be and show thy mighty
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here again with you to proclaim the Word of God. And I felt very much at home hearing an accordion being played, because occasionally I have to do that at Bradford when there's no organist. And there's not many chapels I've been to where I've heard an accordion played. So that's lovely. Thank you for that. Let's turn to God's Word and the Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And reading from verse 13 down to verse 35, and then the final few verses from verse 50 to the end of the chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 13. Let us hear God's word together. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And then moving on to verse 50, and just reading those final four verses from verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless that reading of his own precious word. Our text this evening is found in verse 52. Verse 52 of our reading. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The title of the message this evening is A Heart Experience. A Heart Experience. As evangelical Christians, we emphasize the necessity of a heart experience. We believe that every individual who is called by the grace of God needs to have a personal experience for themselves of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to enter into a personal relationship with him. And we believe that only those who are born again of the Spirit of God can know what this heart experience is really about. Those who are still dead in trespasses and in sins cannot possibly know what that heart experience is about. Sometimes we refer to it as conversion. Sometimes we speak of being born again, being regenerated, being saved, coming to faith, passing from death to life, from darkness to light. Sometimes we speak of a realization that we are subjects of a work of grace. But they all speak of the same thing, the necessity of entering into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, study has its place, learning has its place, but sometimes we can be ever learning and still not coming to a knowledge of the truth. There's a lot of mentions in our hymns to this particular situation. One hymn tells us that true religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. It tells us that we can't learn this personal experience for ourselves as a schoolboy learns his tasks. It tells us that dry doctrine will not suffice when it's simply floating in the brain. You see, we can learn about God, we can learn about the Bible, we can learn about theology and about doctrine, but we cannot learn this heart experience. And this is where the source of true spiritual life is found, when we enter into this heart experience. Now, the disciples who are spoken of in this final chapter of Luke's Gospel, they have quite obviously entered into a heart experience. It says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We might think on the surface of it that they would be very sad. They were separated from their Lord, and yet it tells us they returned with great joy, continuing to worship him. You see, they had met with the risen Christ. They'd entered into this personal heart experience of which we speak this evening. Now, chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel starts with a great deal of uncertainty, a great deal of confusion. The disciples who were remaining after the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were trying their best to work things out. What had happened during the recent days? But of course, as one preacher said, we will never work things out for ourselves unless the Lord, first of all, works them in. We'll never understand these references to our heart experience if we're not the subjects of a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But at the end of the chapter, it tells us they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. What had happened in the meantime? What had happened to change the confusion and the uncertainty, the sadness, the despondency, and to end the chapter on such a high note? Well, first of all, they were enabled to worship by the Spirit of God. It was Spirit-indicted worship. It wasn't something they'd learnt in a book. There was no ABC to tell them how to do it. They went on their way with great joy. They continued in the temple. And this heart experience that they'd entered into was to know new dimensions. They were to go out and preach the gospel with boldness after the day of Pentecost. They were to experience what was described as turning the world upside down, transforming society going to the uttermost parts of the earth with the truth of the gospel, which would have been impossible had they not entered into this heart experience. Well, this evening, each one of us needs to have a personal heart experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, might we say with the hymn writer, I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? And in the storms of life, and in the shadows that are constantly cast over us in our experience, how important it is that we have this experience of the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. Well, tonight I'd like us to look at four different types of heart experience. If we look through the chapter, we'll find that in verse 17, it speaks of a sad heart. In verse 25, it speaks of a slow heart. In verse 32, it speaks of a burning heart. And in verses 52 and 53, it tells us of those who had a glad heart, an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may see in some of these heart experiences things that mirror our own experience and our own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we will move from the sad heart to the glad heart as we consider what is before us this evening. First of all, the sad heart, verse 17. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Cleopas and his companion, possibly his wife, on the road to Emmaus. The sad heart. Now, Cleopas and his companion were not members of the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't those who were in the limelight religiously at that time. They were perhaps not very well known. But we see that the Lord Jesus came personally to them. He came to reveal himself to them. And sometimes we perhaps have an idea that the Lord will only choose to reveal himself to people who are learned and people who are somebody in society and in the world, but that's not the case, of course. Out of the mouths of babes hast thou perfected strength. And here the Lord Jesus approaches two fairly insignificant people. Wasn't that the way the early disciples were? They were referred to as ignorant and unlearned men. Some of them were fishermen called from their nets to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there was just two people here who were walking and were sad, and the Lord Jesus chose to speak to them and to reveal himself to them. And as one preacher has said, they heard the greatest exposition of the Old Testament in the whole of history, because they heard it from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There was only two, and perhaps sometimes if we only have two in our congregation, we think that things have not been very successful. I remember going to preach to two elderly people in a little chapel in West Yorkshire, month after month, and you might say that's very discouraging, but it was an opportunity to proclaim the word and to fellowship with the Lord's people. Their hearts were sad. They were on their way to Emmaus. We're not exactly sure where Emmaus was, but according to the word of God, it was 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And as they walked, their hearts were so sad and so full of despondency. They were talking of all the things that had happened in the recent days, how the Lord Jesus had been taken from them, and how that there were these rumours that he'd risen from the dead. Jesus had allowed himself to be arrested. The greatest injustice in the whole of history. He'd been nailed to a cross. The sinless one. He who had done no wrong. And their hearts were particularly sad because they thought that the Lord Jesus would redeem Israel. They thought he would become an earthly Messiah, and their hopes were pinned upon him as Jesus the prophet. And now those hopes are dashed. Why were their hearts so sad? Because they had failed to understand the Old Testament. They'd failed to understand the promises of God that are in the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. And those passages that were read us tonight in the Old Testament, they obviously hadn't understood them, that they spoke of the coming king, but the coming, not an earthly king, but the one who would come to redeem his people by shedding his precious blood. They thought that he would set up a Jewish kingdom and rule in descent from King David as the royal son. They misunderstood scripture, and as a result, their hearts were sad. Now we can see an application in this, I'm sure, that if we fail to understand scripture, our hearts will be sad. How important it is that we take time to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, that we take time to study it, that we take time to meditate upon it. Not just a casual reading because we feel we've got to fulfill our reading plan, but a time to meditate and to take the Word in and to let it seep into our spirit and into our soul, and then our hearts will not be sad. Oh, how important it is to speak about Jesus. You know, one of the most wonderful things about these sad hearts, that even though their hearts were sad, they were still talking about Jesus. They were still speaking about the Lord. And sometimes I've found in church experience, when people's hearts are sad, they want to stop talking about Jesus. They want to stay at home. They don't want to attend the church. But these two were still talking about Jesus, even though their hearts felt so sad and so discouraged. There's much to make us sad in our day, much to make us gloomy, much to make us despondent. But oh, how we need to be encouraged, how we need to fellowship, how we need to speak often one to another, as they did in Malachi's day. Those who loved the Lord and feared the Lord, they came together and they spake often, the Bible says, one to another. Sad hearts. But then in verse 25, we read of a slow heart. The words of the Lord Jesus again. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Their hearts were slow. They'd failed to believe the witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here there's a stranger approaches them, and it's actually Jesus, but they don't recognize him. They're so sad, they're so wrapped up in their own concerns, they thought he was dead. Their hearts were slow to believe. And until he chose to reveal himself to them, they didn't recognize who he was. And Jesus had to draw out what was in their hearts before they recognized him. There's a wonderful gospel truth here, of course, that we cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ until he graciously reveals himself to us. We can speak about Jesus as much as we like, but if a person's heart is not touched, they will never come to Jesus. It's only when the Holy Spirit moves upon them, convicting them of sin, leading them to the Lord Jesus, enabling them to see him as their surety, as their sacrifice, as their saviour. Yes, hearts were slow. The disciples were bewildered. They were cast down. They were frightened. Here the Lord Jesus Christ had been taken from them. He'd been crucified, and now his body is missing. The Lord Jesus Christ draws near to them, and he realizes exactly how they must feel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's the one who's been tempted in all points, like as we are. Sometimes feel he's so remote, but in the hour of temptation, he's with us to succor us and to support us. Now here they were with slow hearts, and surely everybody must have known what had been happening in the city of Jerusalem. And they say, Jesus says to them, what things? And Cleopas begins to expound what he knows about the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You see, they knew the facts, but they didn't know the experience. And so often we can know the facts of the gospel without knowing the experience. We can know the doctrine, we can know the church rules, we can know the constitution, but to know the Lord Jesus passes all knowledge, to know him for ourselves. Oh, that we might say with the Apostle Paul, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And Jesus expounds to them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, to reveal to them Christ in all the scriptures. How exciting it is that right from the book of Genesis, right through to the book of Revelation, we see the Lord Jesus Christ clearly portrayed, the slow heart. But then the burning heart. The burning heart. Verse 32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, this is the heart experience, isn't it? Not just to hear something in the letter and in the knowledge of it, but to understand it in the reality. Jesus was making to go further, but it was getting towards nightfall, and the road was dangerous. Bandits could have been on that road, and it could have been very dangerous for him to walk on it. And so they invited him to stay with them, abide with us, for it is towards evening. Those words that we believe influenced H.F. Light in writing the well-known hymn, Abide With Me. Abide with us because it is toward evening. And he came in to sit down at the table with these two disciples. Now, it wasn't the breaking of bread, because Jesus left the room before the wine was served. But their eyes were opened nonetheless as the bread was broken and as they fellowshipped with him. And as he came in to sit at the table, Jesus took the position at the head of the table. He didn't wait for his host to officiate at the table. And I understand that bread and wine would have been the natural sort of everyday meal at that time. But Jesus took the seat at the head of the table. And in our lives, Jesus needs to be at the head of the table. He needs to be the Lord of our life. He needs to be the one to whom we look to in everything. He needs to be the one with whom we have this heart experience. And he was made known to them. How did they recognize him? The Bible doesn't tell us that. Did they see the nail prints in his hand? Had they heard of the Last Supper in the upper room, and they recognized the words that he was speaking? Had they heard of the feeding of the 5,000? We don't really know. We can just guess those things. But after Jesus had sat with them, he vanished out of their sights. And their hearts were neither sad nor slow at this time, but they were elated. They said, did not our heart burn within us? There's something about this man. This is the God-man. This is he. And the spiritual aspect of it came to them immediately, talking with the Lord Jesus, hearing him expounding scripture. This was the fellowship of the burning heart. Did not our heart burn within us? Well, it's very well known, of course, that John Wesley, in 1738, he was at a society meeting in Aldersgate Street in London, and he was listening to somebody read from the preface to Luther's commentary to the Romans. And while the person read, he said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. He entered into this fellowship of the burning heart. And about 50 years later, William Gadsby was to know a similar experience. And he said that he was so wrapped up in the sweetness of the mercy of God in salvation. He said, I should always possess this peace and joy and never know sorrow again. He had such an experience, a heart experience of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And so after this, the disciples hurried back 7 miles to Jerusalem. It didn't matter that it was dark. It didn't matter that there were dangers on the road. They couldn't wait to share the news. Jesus is risen, and he's been made known to them in the breaking of bread. But when they got there, the 11 disciples already knew. He'd already risen. He'd appeared to Simon Peter. And this heart experience meant that everyone was bursting to tell the good news. Verses 9 to 11 tell us about the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the idle tales that they thought were being spread. Now their hearts have been changed. Their hearts were burning on fire for the Lord. And if we have this heart experience, if we know Jesus in this way, we will have a heart that burns with love and fire for him. There was no second-hand faith here. It was a personal heart experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took away their sadness and he gave them gladness. And he gives a precious heart experience to those whose hearts are burning with love and fire for him. So then there's our last point, the glad heart. We've thought of those sad hearts and those slow hearts and those burning hearts. But what about the glad heart? What a change. Verses 52 and 53. You see, previously their hearts were so sad they couldn't join in worship. Their hearts were so slow they didn't understand what was going on. Jesus had been taken from them. But now things have changed. Jesus has been taken from them again. He's ascended into heaven. And yet, there's no sorrow in their hearts. They go out as far as the Mount of Olives, Bethany, the favourite place that Jesus loved. And they're left gazing up into heaven. But they're not sad any longer, because they have that wonderful hope that the Lord Jesus will return, and that he's gone to prepare a place for them, and that he sent the Holy Spirit. He will send the Holy Spirit to be their comforter, the Holy Paraclete. Now what about our hearts tonight? Maybe some sadness here for various reasons. Maybe our hearts seem so slow. But are we burning in our hearts with joy and with dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because whatever earthly sorrows we have, whatever sadnesses we have in our hearts, whatever slowness we have in our hearts, we have got the same promise. He's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also, and that the Holy Spirit will come to abide with his people, and that the Lord Jesus himself says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. May we know something of that joy this evening. May we know that heart experience, whatever our personal situation is. May we exalt ourselves now in the Lord's exaltation and his priestly ministry for his saints, even now interceding for his people, no longer on the Emmaus Road, but still making sad hearts glad and black hearts white. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn, number 546. A lovely hymn by Charles Wesley, and it mentions in several verses something of this heart experience and a heart that is burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. 546. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. 546. Thank you. Let's all pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee for our fellowship together in this thy house this evening. We thank thee for each one bowed before thee. Most of all, we thank thee for the presence of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the word of God. We pray that thy Holy Spirit will so apply it to our hearts that we might, each one of us here this evening, know something of the heart experience that we have spoken of. Pray that thou will bless our word, thy word to our hearts, pardon us for anything spoken amiss, and we ask now that thou wilt be pleased to take us to our homes in peace and safety, if it could be thy will. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be our portion this night and for always. Amen.
Amen.